One of the brother will please turn to the book of Isaiah 6. Isaiah 64, I think, and verse 6.
But we are all as unclean thing, as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags.
Could you read it again?
But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
Also, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
And Titus chapter 3, verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing.
You will notice that all three texts, Isaiah 64, verse 6, Ephesians 2, 9, and Titus chapter 3, verse 5, all three passages deal with the fact that it is not our right or good deeds that save us. Isaiah tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Ephesians tells us that it is not our works that save us, it is God's grace. Titus tells us, it is quite instructive, the word that Titus used. You are there?
Yes.
Read it.
Not by works of righteousness, which
notice
we have.
Notice the kind of work. It is right work that we have done. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But Brother Mitchell, aren't those right things? Yes, but Jesus Christ wants us to put them in their right place. Because anywhere we put them in their wrong place, we develop wrong attitude. And devalue what Christ did at Calvary. So, today, we look on the fact that it is Jesus Christ who gives meaning and worth to our goodness. It is Jesus Christ and Christ alone who gives worth, value, and meaning to our good work. In the lesson last week or the previous week, I touched briefly on the good man and his work. In fact, it was a comparative thing, the bad person and the good person. And then it came to me, why don't we have a more extensive study rather than just bringing up two characters. So I ask the question, what will happen ultimately to the good man or woman with his or her goodness, kind deeds, niceness, decency, and sociableness? What will happen? Here is a man or woman, there might be such a person in the audience this morning, that will acknowledge that, Mr. Mitchell, I have not been baptized, but I believe in God and I try to live a decent life. I try to be kind to people. I try to be sociable. I try to be nice. I do all the good things. What will ultimately happen to that person if the person remains like that? Will that man or woman be saved from eternal death, from eternal condemnation? Will that person be ultimately considered by God a child of God? Because we are impressed and we are touched with nice people. We are. We hate to think that a person who has been so nice, considerate, helpful, kind. We hate to think that that man or woman might end up in the eternal hell. So even apart from what God says, we have the inclination to put the person in heaven. Especially when the person is a family member or a friend. What will happen to that man? How does God see that person? Simply because that man or woman was good, nice, decent, and upright. You go to funerals. It matters not how ungodly and defiant against God's will that man or woman was. If that person did a little good deeds, let's assume that that man or woman was a philanthropist, a man or woman who have the means to contribute to the Salvation Army and to food for poor and take off the people from the street and feed them. You better don't ever imply like that man is lost. Because the wider society feel that that person is closer to God than you and I who may express faith, repent, get baptized, and worship regularly. So it's important that we have in our mind the what is what. In the sight of God, who really is a Christian? Christian, we need to answer that. You see, if you and I don't answer that, there are a lot of men and women who God sent in our circle that we let them pass and we never for a moment think that they need Jesus Christ. Because we have not formulated in our mind through God's word who really is a Christian in God's sight. It's important that we define that and understand that. Who is a Christian? Who is a cleansed man or woman? Who is a saved and sanctified person first in God's sight? That's very important that we don't get confused there. You see, we live in a religiously confused world. At Sister Fraser's funeral yesterday, I pointed out that we get confused between being religious and being a Christian. And that is a fact. Almost every religious person is considered by the wider religious society a Christian. And you find it a uphill task to help men and women to understand that just being religious, believing in God, reading your Bible, joining a church does not make one a Christian. Further studies and research helped me to understand that the Ethiopian eunuch did not go 200 or 400 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. It was some 1,400 miles the man traveled. Oh my God. You traveling from Kingston to Montego Bay ever so often, once a week, simply because that is the place you can worship God the right way? No, sir. You would get stuck at the closest place to you, and then you would go on to deceiving yourself that it doesn't matter. Anywhere you worship, it is just as good. But this man traveled 1,400 miles. If you do some research, you are going to see that it was really about 1,500, but it sounds so distant that me cut it down. That's right. If you do some good research, you are going to see it was about 1,500 miles. The man traveled just because he felt that is the place, Jerusalem, that men could worship God the right way. But may I? With all this travel and commitment, he was not a Christian. Thank God, the Almighty God saw his sin, sincerity, and his zeal and his willingness to serve God. And God therefore provided somebody to teach him. But over and over again, I point out that God did not use anybody from the church he was going. It's important that you get that, because that is not just a simple matter. Why is it that the man traveled so far to worship, was returning? And of the hundreds of people in that Jewish temple, God used nobody there to teach him. Because nobody there knew the truth. Nobody in that temple knew the truth. They were worshiping according to the Old Testament. You see, who is a Christian? Who is truly a child of God? In God's sight first. Christian need to settle that. This man must be a Christian, even though he does not go to church. He is better Christian than. We hear that quite often. As far as that person is concerned, the person we're speaking about, that other person, it is the person's goodness, niceness, and decency alone which qualifies that man or woman as a Christian. May I? Christian, did you know that just that, just putting a person's goodness above Christ and Calvary, you are devaluing what Christ done at Calvary? Wait, Once you and I have in our mind and give high estimation to a person's goodness to the extent we do not see the need for that man to obey the gospel, you are in effect saying, this is what counts. Not, you see, when Jesus Christ tells us to hear, believe, repent, and get baptized, that is personifying Calvary. It is teaching us about Calvary. It is showing that Jesus Christ and what he says is the important thing. When you and I just use a person's niceness, goodness, and decency, we are saying that, yes, Christ died, and I accept that, but that is not so important. I hardly think man can do worse than devaluing Jesus Christ's work at Calvary. With what qualifies a person? Let us hear Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 again. Let us hear it.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Now, that is God's favor and kindness, grace. You're saved through that.
And that not of yourselves.
It is not of yourself. It's God through Christ.
It is the gift of God.
It is God's gift.
Not of works.
You and I didn't do anything to accumulate some credit in God's sight. It's purely God's love and mercy that reach out to us. And while it is important that we be decent, we be kind, we be helpful, and all of this, while that is absolutely necessary, you have to put those in the right perspective. There's a passage we do not talk about a lot, and we should talk more about it. It's a passage which says that we must esteem other better than ourselves. I have, some years ago, a few lessons here and that. I wonder if you ever thought of that. What is behind that? That each person must esteem other better than himself. Oh my God. There is a lot of Christianity in that statement. Because that, if we learn to do that, it removes self-righteousness from us. You see, the business where we compete with others, are we all there? And always feel, I am a better Christian than. You remember the prayer that Jesus Christ took up, the prayer between the Pharisees and the publican? You get it? It was the publican, instead of going and praying to God, have mercy upon me, my God, and what. No, he go impressing God. God, I thank you. Look now, in case you didn't write this down, here are some of the things that I did, etc., etc. And you see, that old guy, that old sinner over there, me give you thanks that I'm not like him. We do that in our minds. And when we do that, we are only cutting ourselves off from God. I keep saying here, whenever you come to acknowledge your sin to God, don't editorialize. Because that alone, when you assure God, this person who make me sin, God, you know, and God, you better give me strength to deal with that person there and all that. You're not repenting. No, sir. You're not repenting. Consider each other better than themselves. That is humility. And that protects us against self-righteousness. Others are not the standard that God used to judge us. So it doesn't matter how sinful the brother or sister who sit beside you is. That brother or sister's sinfulness will not make you better in God's sight. We must get that. The Almighty God judge us by his own righteousness and against his word. Not using a fellow human being.
Ephesians, still at chapter 2, verse 8 and 9.
For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works.
Not of works.
Lest any man should boast.
You see, God does not ever want that. For us to feel spiritually inflated. Because of something we have done. No, sir. Always tell yourself, there is so much more distance for me to cover. On one occasion, Paul talked, he said, not that I consider myself to reach, but I press toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Paul says, no, I'm not. Don't misunderstand me. Philippians or Galatians, whichever of the book. I'm not saying I reach the Christ-likeness that I am to be. I am pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. That was verse 8 and 9. First, heavens reveal to us that it is Jesus Christ alone, as I've said, that gives worth, give spiritual meaning to everything we do. May I? Our money that we give, when we come to worship, giving is a part of worship. Huh? There is a difference between the Christian giving and the ungodly man giving. Vast difference. The good deeds we do, we visit the sick. We share with those who are in need. At least we ought to. We ought to. We reach out to comfort those who need comforting. We reach out to those who need to be taught God's truth. All these things we do. But may I? There is a difference. If you say, but Mr. Mitchell, I am now a child of God. Before I became a Christian, I was visiting sick people in my neighborhood. They were not friends or relatives of mine. I visit. And wherever I see a man or a woman who was in need, I help. Now I became a Christian, I'm doing the same thing. But in God's sight, it's not the same thing. Are we all there? It matters not how good, how kind, how morally upright. It matters not how considerate, how just, how loving, how humble you are. It is of no spiritual or eternal value to you.
Are you following me? Until it's done at the right place. This is important. Let me repeat. It matters not how good, how kind, how morally upright, how just you are, how helpful, how decent. That is of no spiritual value to you. Wait, I did not say it is of no value. It is of social value. And society need good people, just people, kind people. To have a better society, we need that in society. But spiritually, that goodness, that decency, that morally uprightness is of no value to you until it is done in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is a fact. When it is done in Christ, it takes on completely different meaning. That's why I said a while ago, the ungodly man comes and they sit, and when the offering plate pass around, they drop something in there. In fact, sometimes they may even drop 100 times more than you put in. But when you put in your widow's mite, as a child of God, God put more worth, more value spiritually on that widow's mite. Spiritually, it has meaning and significance to you. The ungodly man giving, it doesn't have any spiritual meaning to God.
Wait. Remember what I'm preaching now. You can come tonight at night service and question and see clarification on any point that I'm raising in this lesson. Only when it is done in Jesus Christ that it takes on worth and value and spiritual meaning to everything that we do. Are we all there? Only in Jesus Christ. May I show you something? Let us run to Matthew chapter 15, 32 following. Matthew 15.
Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?
You notice what they are doing here. Master, are you crazy? That's what... In other words, where do you expect us to have so much bread to feed this great crowd? Eh? In other words, why are you blaming us in effect? Read on.
Then Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye?
In other words, Jesus Christ knew that, he knew that so many of them, when they travel with something to munch on, You know, so Christ wanted to find out if there was any among them. Read on.
And they said, seven and a few little fishes.
That is one person's lunch. When I was growing up,
I eat more than that. So that was just a lunch. Read on.
And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them.
Uh-huh.
And gave to his disciples.
Uh-huh.
And the disciples to the multitude.
Uh-huh.
And they did all eat and were filled.
How many thousand it was? It's somewhere at the where you started at around verse 32, 30, somewhere there it tells when they count them.
It was a great multitude.
Okay.
Great multitude.
Right. And
38,000.
Verse 38, and they did all eat that were 4,000 men, besides women and children.
You know why they don't count the women and children? They usually outnumber the men. Huh? So if it is 4,000 men, you can imagine it would be probably some 8,000 women and children. So we are thinking probably about 12,000 people or more here, less or more. Now, brothers and sisters, you may wonder, Brother Mitchell is straying from the point. No, sir, I'm right on point. You know, when Jesus Christ had a dictate in how these laws were used, they took on, help me here, added value and worth. Normally, how many loaves? Five?
Seven loaves.
Seven loaves, five fishes? That was able to feed only one person or two persons the most. That is before Jesus Christ had anything to do with it. But that same five loaves, seven fishes, or whatever, when Christ had a dictate, had authority, had an input in how it was used, its worth, its meaning, its value was compounded. What is the point? It shows that apart from Jesus Christ, we worth very little. But when Jesus Christ has a part to play, not only in our lives, but in the good deeds we do, then that good deeds takes on different meaning. May I? Let me bring up again, I brought up, and let me just make sure you understand it. When the godly, the Christian, comes and gives, it is a different significant in God's sight than when the godly man gave. But here is it again. When
the ungodly man comes to worship. Now thank God if that ungodly man or woman is learning God's will. But it does not have the same meaning as when the Christian comes to worship.
For one thing, you cannot worship outside of Jesus Christ. That's a fact. When we read in the book of Ephesians, it tells that the glory that we give to God must be done where?
in the church.
Are we there? Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, when the man or woman is not a Christian, all that that person did was done in the old man. You and God cannot have dealing when you're a mean in your old sinful state.
May we have one or two passages on that. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24, Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Let us hear those passages.
Ephesians 4,
22 through 24.
And ye put off concerning the former conversation.
Watch here now. May I watch? I'm telling you that. Why? What the good man decency, while it is good for society, it is of no spiritual value. That's right. It is of no spiritual value or worth. Now watch here now. In becoming a Christian, there is a putting
off,
and there is a putting on. Very important. Watch here.
That you put off. Concerning the former conversation.
The former manner of life. It must be put off. Are we all there? Read on.
The old man, which is...
Okay, you notice the old man. Whatever is done in the old man, the man of sin, it is of no spiritual value to you. Yes, it might be valuable to society, but not any spiritual value. We put off the old man. That's the man of sin. Read.
Which is corrupt. According to the deceitful lusts.
According to the deceitful lust. That is, deceitful mean it deceives you, it fools you. And that is any ungodly and lawful thing that we desire. Because the word lust means desire. Anything out there that we desire and that would come between God and us. Deceitful desire, lust. It fools us. Read on.
And be renewed. In the spirit of your mind.
You notice again, it's not only in the book of Romans chapter 12 that the mind has to be first worked on by God's word, the gospel. But even in this passage, it's saying the same thing. Read.
That ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Uh-huh.
And that ye put on the new man.
You notice here in the passage, the new man. May I? Whatever is done by and in the old man, it is of no spiritual value. Whatever, it must be done in the new man. The book of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, somewhere there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's where our good deeds, our decency, and all of that takes on meaning. Read on. What I ask for is finished, brother. More is left.
Well, that's verse 24.
Yes. That was verse 24.
The new man, which after God is created.
It is created after God.
In righteousness and true holiness.
In true holiness. You
notice how plain the passage is. That there is a putting off. And it tells you who must be put off. The old man of sinfulness. And there is a putting on. the new man of Christ's likeness. Only when our good deeds, our moral uprightness, our decency, our kindness, our worship, only when it is done by and in the new man,
it is accepted by God. You find the same in the book of Colossians, brother. And it is chapter 3, verse 9 and 10.
Lie not one to another.
Lie not one to another.
Seeing that ye have put off the old man.
You get it again? It's not just lying. Whatever the sin is, it is pertaining to the old man. Read on.
With his deeds.
With his deeds.
And have put on the new man.
Now, this is a different passage the brother is reading. You know. This is Ephesians chapter 3. The previous passage was... this is Colossians chapter 3. The previous passage was Ephesians chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing the same thing to both congregations. These are some of the points that we are picking up in Wednesday night Bible study. That Paul did not write one thing to one church and not to another. Whatever he preached in one church, it was preached in all the church that he had to do with. Read it, brother.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
You see what I see? Serving God is not just... It's not merely an emotional thing, how you or I feel. You need knowledge. You need the know-how.
Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, remember the passage in Isaiah that all our good deeds are like filthy rags? Simply because when those good deeds are done in the old man, they are of no value. It is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone, being obedient to him, that one is made a Christian.
I had made the statement further up. I asked the question, who is a child of God, cleansed, forgiven, sanctified in God's sight? Is it by a man or woman good deeds? No. And we as children of God must not be confused about good deeds.
Remember, I made sure what I'm saying is understood. Good deeds are absolutely necessary in Jesus Christ. We have to be good people and we have to do good. We are commanded as God's people. In fact, the Bible said, do good to all men. That's right. Especially those that are of God's family. That's what is called the household of faith. But keep in mind that
The spiritual significance that good deeds have when you are a child of God, a part of the body of Christ, his church, it does not have that same meaning outside of Jesus Christ.
Only in Jesus Christ we are made Christian. Only in Christ we are cleansed, saved, sanctified. Not by good deeds. All our good deeds are meaningless spiritually until they are done in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13.
That at that time, ye were without Christ,
mm-hmm.
being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and strangers from the covenants of promise,
uh-huh.
having no hope,
uh-huh.
and without God in the world.
Uh-huh.
But now,
watch, you know, I always like this passage. Oh my God. It's telling them, at verse 12 again, just the first line.
That at that time,
mm-hmm.
ye were without Christ.
You were without Christ. Now, may I notice he's pitching the without Christ. You understand the concept of without? It means outside. Me and Sister Michelle were at the airport some years ago. I'll never forget, because we said that by the term the man used, we know he was a countryman. So there was there this time a year too, and somebody was speaking to somebody probably from the country, and they must ask him if the person arrived. So he said, the plane come, but he no come out the door yet. So, me and Nava, me and Sister Michelle, we laugh. I said, that man is from my district. He no come out the door yet. That's right. It mean, without mean, outside. So Paul, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, is pitching the without. At that time you were?
Without Christ.
Without Christ, mean outside of Christ. Read on now.
Being aliens.
When you are without or outside of Christ, you are alien.
From the commonwealth of Israel.
You are alien from God's, the commonwealth of Israel.
Strangers from the
you
covenants
of promise.
You are a stranger
in God's sight from the covenant of promise. Huh. What promise? Forgiveness of sin, fellowship with God, sonship, daughtership, hope of eternal life, daily cleansing. You are a stranger from all of that. Read on.
And without God in the world.
You are without God in the world.
But no.
Wait, brother. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean? It's not what I mean, it's what God means. God is saying to you this morning, if you have never been baptized through faith, repentance, baptized for the removal of your sin, this passage is describing you, that you are without God. And Brother Mitchell, God has been kind to me, so I couldn't be that at all. It's talking about you. Even though you are without him, he still provides the necessities of life for you. The Bible tells us that he sent rain on the just and on the unjust. That's how good and gracious God is. But don't misinterpret that kindness that he provides for all men. The men and women who curse God, who claim they don't believe, who do not have any time for God to worship him, God provides for them. Your problem is you have been giving the wrong interpretation on God's kindness. That's right. You are without God in the world. And that is, all of that is said against. Read on.
But no.
Wait. No, notice. Notice, I'm going to capitalize the but because it is so important. But now, what now?
But now in Christ Jesus.
Where?
In Christ Jesus.
That make all the difference.
Amen.
All the difference. It makes all the difference between you and God. It makes all the difference in respect to your decency, your kindness. And just name it. If it's not done in Jesus Christ, it has no spiritual meaning and value. Because it's done at the wrong place. We are closing. You remember that
Nadab and Abihu took the fire from the wrong place. That made all the difference. In fact, God killed them. They were worshiping. But in worshiping, the fire should have been taken from a particular place. They took it from the wrong place. In closing,
keep in mind, I have just reached only half of what this lesson contains, but we have to stop here. We all remember Cornelius and Lydia. They are not the only prospective convert we have seen in the Bible. There are many. But these two people, we met them doing good. They were good people, kind, decent. Yet they had to learn the gospel truth and submit their lives to it. We read that Lydia was a worshiper, but that worship was of no spiritual value to her. Not as far as God was concerned, because it was done at the wrong place, outside of Jesus Christ.
Only when a man good deeds, decency, kindness, considerateness, only when those are done in Jesus Christ, they become meaningful in God's sight. Not before. That's why Titus talking about that we are not saved by our works of righteous deeds. If you are here today, why don't you start doing good deeds in Christ? And somebody asked the question, Mr. Mitchell, what do you mean by in Christ? It means that you have to get in Jesus Christ through obedience to the gospel. That's how one gets in Christ.
You hear God's truth according to the gospel. As a result of hearing, your conscience, your honesty, your reason is touched. You see the need to turn your life over to Christ. You step forward because you want to give him your life in obedience. And that obedience including believing in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. It includes from belief. Now, don't just stop at belief, because if you stop at belief, you are still in your sin. Belief must drive you to repentance. Neither can you stop at repentance. Repentance means you will turn from all you recognize in your life to be sinful, to be ungodly, to be against God's will. You will turn from them and turn to the righteous ways of Christ according to the gospel. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. You must move on to where you want to confess Jesus' name. Put that another way, you must not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Mr. Mitchell, am I a Christian when I repent? No. When I confess, no. You must be baptized. The Bible tells us that when you get baptized, you are baptized in Christ's death. That's where his blood was shed, in his death. And according to the book of Romans chapter 6, when you are baptized, you get in Christ's death. It is as if the passage is saying, you get to Jesus' blood when you are baptized. That's when the blood have influence over your sin, when you are baptized. Today, you can come forward. We will talk with you further. You need Christ. Don't ever believe that because you are kind,
you are good, you are decent, you are morally upright, that will stand in God's sight. Mm-mm. It must be done in Christ. And today you can start by becoming a child of God. As we stand, Jesus Christ called you, and he does so in love, in mercy, in grace. 559. Let us stand.